Okay, so today I'm just taking off on a piece that, like I said earlier, that Al posted on Facebook. It was called Reasons to Be Unreasonable, the 10 Fundamental Powers of Extraordinary Leaders. And, of course, what is it about leaders? I mean, we're all leaders. We all want to be the best we can be in leadership skills. We want to spend time and energy developing those. I'm an avid reader. I love to go to self-development courses. I love to be participating at any level that helps me be a better person and thus a better leader. And we want to be leaders because that's the way we will make a difference in the world. Just being part of M5M, we want to be a leader because we want to inspire other people to join us in this incredible mission. So always, you know, eat it up like it's the most delicious thing you ever get your hands on every time you find something that has to do with leadership, right? We want to grab onto it. So, and I, as I tell people, you know, there's a key to success in our entrepreneur business. And I'm going to give you that terminology right now. Here's the key to success in this entrepreneurial business is to lead a large group of people to do a few simple things every day for a sustained period of time. That's it. There's your key to success. But the first word's lead. So we need to be great leaders. We need to look at what does it take to be great leaders. So let's look at the 10 fundamental powers of extraordinary leaders. And you'll note in the outline that I've given suggestions on where you might go if you wanted, you know, and there are plenty of great materials out there. You know, if I gave you a list of everything I would read for each of these categories, you would have a 25-page outline for today. So, but I just put one of the reading materials to get started with. If you choose that this is an area that you find a weakness in, that maybe you need more help with, then, you know, take it on yourself to get these books. And again, the way, you know, every time I mention today, I don't know about you guys, I know you don't have necessarily a Lydia in your life, but every time I mention, I go, wow, that book sounds like it's really going to be good. Like within 5 seconds, it's on my iPad. Lydia finds it, buys it, slaps it on my iPad. So I have the book in 5 seconds. I mean, I remember I used to have to order and ship it in from, you know, whatever books place he orders it from. It might take a week. I mean, we live in a society where everything is at your fingertips in moments, in just moments. So take advantage of that for yourself so that you can continue to invest in yourself. All right, so let's run through them. Tony Robbins, he's the one that wrote these 10 Fundamental Powers of Extraordinary Leaders. The first power was the power of vision. And we speak about vision endlessly with Manatech. We talk about your why, right? How many times do we tell people to get their why down? That's really your vision. You know, your vision, your why for being in here, what are you going to create? What is it out there? Your vision may not be M5M. In fact, you know, that's one of the things that Bo emphasizes all the time. He says, hey, that, you know, that's Manatech's whole mission. You're a part of that, and you might be really tied to it like I am. I love this mission. I feel so empowered by it. I feel like it's part of who I am today, more so than ever before with Manatech. It's a driving force in me. But I also have other aspects of my life that are so strong and I'm so driven by, and one of them right now, as I've expressed to you guys before, is this concept that I made a commitment and I have this vision of building 12 churches in Brazil. I mean, that's my conviction and my commitment. So we build visions, and we build visions of where we're going to be in 3 years, 5 years. But it's important for us to build something larger than us. Push yourself. What does this mean, larger than you? It means pushing you way outside what you might consider a comfort zone. Don't think small. You think small, you'll create small, and you'll be small. So you want to create something bigger than yourself, larger than yourself. Leaders embrace what moves them, transforming the inspirations into clear visions of what they want, right? So it creates what we want, what's driving us, what we want to achieve. It's something that we just go out and we just grab on. Our vision is moves us. It's I think there's a typo in the outline. It says must achieve. Add the word achieve at the word to the word must. Must achieve. Visions of what they must achieve. It's rather than a should have, could have. It's a must. These things are important to us because we're driven by them. They're something that we feel that strongly about. And so we want to be able to say, hey, we want this vision in our life. We want to have this power of this vision. And that's what it is. because vision creates power. And the type of vision you have in your life, your why, and you want to listen to it daily. You know, one of my new things I'm implementing with all my new people in my Trek program is I want everybody to orally state their vision. Just put it in a statement and record it on your smartphone. And if you can't do that, you can record it on your PC or if you don't have a smartphone. But record it and then listen to it every day. Because by listening to it daily, the type of person you are becoming, your beliefs begin to change. You're going to start shifting. You're going to start really, it becomes a part of you more and more every day you listen to it. And you're so in a way, you're watching those beliefs, which turn into creating better habits and give way to new beliefs, thus creating new habits. And that's what has to happen for us. It has to happen for me. I need better habits, and the way to do that is to continue to work on my belief system, which helps me create better habits because I see where I'm going. This is literally a tool that can change your beliefs and actions over a period of time, reinventing yourself if that's what you desire. And I always want to be in reinvention because, you know, as I tell people all the time, I have not arrived, I will not have arrived until I go home to heaven, right? That's when I've arrived. But right now on earth, it's like I'm working to be the best I can be every day. So you want to make sure you build that vision, use it orally. That's why we build dream boards. That's the visual side of it. Again, another way. You know, we have all of these ways, our senses. And part of the dream board, what's a dream board all about, is to visualize it every day. That's what helps create it. Now, people, you know, the professional athletes build dream boards all the time. What makes us lesser than professional athletes? I mean, these guys understand the power of that, the power of that senses absorbing the vision. So that's what's important for us to absorb as well. So dream boards, orally doing it, another sense is what? Hearing. So that's why we want to replay our statement of our vision. And because it's what this all is about is implementing an implementation system. How to convert, right? How to convert or implement a new idea or tackle a monumental goal you have and implement it into your life. The how-tos. Dream boards or, you know, taping it and listening to it. Tapping into those sentences. Okay, reading material, Miles Monroe, The Principle and Power of Vision. It was amazing when I looked for reading materials to support you guys how many times the statement, Tony Robbins, you know, fundamental powers, were actual names of books already. Incredible. Okay, the second one, so that's power of vision. We got that down. The second one, the power of unreasonable expectations. To receive the ultimate rewards, you must live by the ultimate standards. And leaders are an unreasonable men and women who refuse to be bound by the past, right? We never look at our past as any restriction because we know it's not. What happened in the past never stops us from creating greatness tomorrow and the next day. It doesn't impact me. The only thing the past does for me is it gives me lessons that I've learned, that I can take and I can recreate and I can make better decisions than I made in the past. That's all it is for me. That's what the past is. It's lessons that I've learned that help me be the best I can be today, in the moment today. I can be better than I was yesterday because of the lessons I learned. So we are not bound by the past. We are unreasonable thinkers. We want to step out and believe we can create greatness. That's why some of you put down a goal to be platinum presidential and you go, wow, that's pretty unreasonable. Great. All the more reason to put it down as a goal because you want to think outside the box. You want to be unreasonable because you're capable of creating incredible things. And there's a great book out there called The Power of Unreasonable People. Now, this is a great book for a couple of reasons, right? People familiar with this book by John Elkington and Pamela Hardigan. If you're familiar with this book, you're going to know that this book is all about social entrepreneurship. Isn't that super? Here's this concept of Tony Robbins. He doesn't know Manitech's chosen social entrepreneurship. He doesn't know who we are today, but he said talked about the power of unreasonable expectations, and here's a book, The Power of Unreasonable People, is a book about social entrepreneurs. So it's a great book for multiple reasons for us. So it's something that if you haven't gotten, in fact, I told Lydia maybe we'll do the book review on this one. I just love the information. And in that book, they talk about George Bernard Shaw, his quote, The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. Wow, that's powerful. Did you get that, everybody? The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. And that's us. The power of unreasonable people is a great bit, provides many excellent and creative examples across a wide spectrum of business models from all over the world, you know, including like the Childline India Foundation, which offers a free hotline for countless street kids in Mumbai, India. It talks, you know, there's just a lot of, it talks about the first charity run by volunteers and funded by donations. I mean, it just has a lot of great companies, great charities, great concepts are involved in there about social entrepreneurship. So it's just a great book that describes that emerging blend of activism and entrepreneurship together. And the social entrepreneurs described are unreasonable. We are unreasonable because they want to change the system because they're extraordinarily ambitious. I would say Sam, when he mentioned ending global malnutrition in children, many of us 3 years ago listened to that and we were all in, but did we really believe it? I thought Greg Ross was tremendous on Saturday morning at the Champions training when he said, you know, when I first heard it, I thought, yeah, that's great, let's do it. But he said, but I never believed it. He goes, I believe it today. I believe it today. And he said one of the most significant shifts for him in getting to that belief was Bo Short. Just the impact Bo has had on this company and on Greg's life. And I believe it's happening for a lot of us. I'm all in. I'm totally all in. I believe I can see this company in 3 years. I can see front page Wall Street Journal. I can see what's unfolding here, people, about what's being created and how Manatech can be that forebearer of this model to change networking. I mean, I could see 5 years from now, 10 years from now, networking companies be all being social entrepreneurial. And because Manatech put the stake in the ground. And the reason I can see that is because the model of networking is just a phenomenal model to multiply because of the leverage concept, multiply the multitudes who are convicted and participating in changing the world. That's what makes network marketing so phenomenal as a business model is because of the multiplication, the leveraged income set. I mean, what an incredible technique to use to change the world. And that's why I think it's going to be awesome. So we see all these things. And again, when they talk in this book, they talk about what are some of the possible social, they outline common characteristics that social and environmental entrepreneurs share. And those, they listed four of them. Number one, they shrug off the constraints of ideology. So, you know, and some of that we can see how we need to shrug off the constraints. And some of you get stuck in, some of us, we should say, get stuck in the idea of negativity or somebody downplaying or saying da 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 da. I mean, get rid of that. Don't shrug it off. You are a social entrepreneur, so shrug off the constraints of ideologues out there that are trying to throw ideology at you to change your mind. Number two, they identify and apply practical solutions to social problems. We have a very practical solution. We have PhytoBlend powder. Number three, they have an unwavering belief in everyone's innate capacity, regardless of education, to make a meaningful contribution to the social change. And we know everybody can be a part of Manatech. There's no barriers to entry for a champion to become a champion in Manatech. And number four, they focus first and foremost on social value and are therefore willing to share their innovations. That's us. You know, if you come to Manatech and you focus first and foremost on making money, I think you're going to lose. It's not what we are about today. We're first and foremost about our mission, about the social value of what we're doing. And we incentivize people through this incredible leverage-based model that really helps create substantial income for people. So it's just a great, yeah, that's a book's a great book, but it's about being unreasonable, right? Unreasonable, the power of unreasonable people, that's you and me. Number three, power of conviction. I better get going. I got eight more to hit. We'll race through these. Power of conviction. The quality of your life is in direct proportion to your ability to deal with uncertainty, right? And some of us go, oh, my gosh, uncertainty. Oh, what's that? Oh, I don't. The minute I'm uncertain, I step back. It's the ones that are fearful, that are afraid. They're afraid of making a mistake. They don't want to move forward. Well, and you hear that. I see this in so many leadership books. It talks about uncertainty and how we move forward. We take a step without being perfect. We don't know how to. We don't have to be perfect. And you saw this with Tony Jiri as well. He talked about, he had a principle around this, about moving forward without feeling you had to be perfect first. It's the power of production before perfection. Production before I think it was, wasn't it PBP, production before perfection. Yeah, and we need to continue doing that, stepping out without that certainty. Leaders confront uncertainty with their own internal certainty. When we have an internal certainty about where we're going, we can confront anything because you know why? We've got that core belief in us that knows where we're going. The goal in mind, and it doesn't matter what uncertainties come in our path, it's the goal is directed. We know where we're going. And so it's important for us to recognize that. That's conviction. You can read, there's a book out there, Ronald Reagan, The Power of Conviction and the Success of His Presidency. And it talks about whatever your political beliefs are, you can get value out of that book, The Power of Conviction. And conviction means unshakable belief in something without need for proof or evidence. And we also see that in Scripture as well, you know, in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's a solid connection between conviction and faith, right? Having faith. When one has such faith and unshakable belief in something, they need no evidence or proof to justify their belief. They just truly possess that value of conviction. And with such conviction comes power, the power to change oneself and the power to what? Change the world. Right. And very heavy duty. It's great. And you can leverage that. Anyone who combines passion with purpose, that's really the essence of leadership, is combining passion with purpose. The power of conviction can be leveraged by any of us when we combine passion with purpose, because then what we're doing is we're leading with that power of conviction and attracting other people. There's another book out there, best-selling author Andy Stanley skillfully defines the term visioneering in his book. It's this, with the same name. It's called Visioneering. And he says, a clear mental picture of what could be fueled by the conviction that it should be. So what is your conviction? Do you have the conviction in your heart today about truly ending global malnutrition in kids? Number four, power of connection. That's always true. Our networking business has always been about connecting. It's about relationship building. True leaders have an uncanny ability to care and connect. Notice the word care came first. And this is so crucial as we step out in this industry, in our social entrepreneurship, in connecting with people, in building relationships. Because truly, in order for us to end global malnutrition in children, each one of us on this call today need to be our best in connecting with people. We need to step up in a new way. And notice care comes first before connect. You got to care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. One of the basic principles I've trained for years in the network marketing realm, well, it's no different now in social entrepreneurship. It's all about care and loving and giving with people. That's what connects. That's what makes us all one. Every one of us has needs to be met, and we're here to serve other people. So the power of connection is the power of caring. How do we have thoughtful interactions, understanding the motives of others? It's just about us really stepping forward in that. And it's how we use these connections. What makes great leaders is how we utilize the connections we make. What leaders' best assets are their relationships with people. And there's not any leader on the face of the earth who lacks a sphere of connections. So we need to learn how to utilize the power of connections, right? And we utilize them for mutual benefit. We utilize them to create the results that we need in our industry. We utilize them to help them and support them to be the leaders they need to be to take the torch and carry it on. So we want to make sure we're using our talents to communicate our vision to other people. so that everybody can be on board and we can mutually achieve this goal of ending global malnutrition in kids. So there's a movie out there. I gave you the reference instead of a book, www.connectionmovie.com. It might touch your heart. It might be something you want to send out to your organization. Go watch it yourself. It's short, and see if it moves you. But it's important for us to understand the power of connections. It's really about networking to lead. That's what the power of connections is, about networking to lead. We want to lead others, networking to lead. So it's stay powerfully connected. From this day forward, consider how you may use your power of connections to fulfill your vision as well as the shared visions of others to truly reach our goals of ending global malnutrition. That's where we are. Stay powerfully connected and understand how you can use that power of connections to fulfill your own personal vision as well as our shared vision of ending global malnutrition. Number five, the power of passionate communication. Why do we need passion in our communication? Because the core of moving anybody in any direction, inspiring people, is to have passion. So we need to drive it with passion. We need to be passionate about it. The beauty of malnutrition in children is that, you know, each and every one of us can be passionate about such an incredible cause, about making such a huge difference in social change. It's emotional core of our business, and emotional core of your business is people who are going to be passionate. The faster you can create an emotional bond with your target audience, the faster you can build trust, and we can build that through being passionate. We need passionate communication. We inspire others. We build trust with others. You've got to be inspired. If this vision doesn't inspire you, then I suggest that maybe this isn't your place. Maybe this isn't your cause. Maybe this isn't your place. Maybe you need to focus on your own personal vision. But it's going to be hard for you to draw people into Manatech today because of the overwhelming, you know, commitment to our mission and the vision of the company. It's hard for people to be on board with Manatech if they don't see and feel and aren't impassioned by the mission Manatech has chosen. So it's important that we communicate that, we inspire other peoples by communicating with them about what our passion is. And we know that our brand today, our brand is social entrepreneurship. Our brand is our mission statement. Our brand is our vision for the world. That's who we are. We're branded today as Manatech Associates and social entrepreneurs, that this is where we're going. And helping save the lives of the least fortunate, again, how can we not be passionate about something so dramatic as that and making that difference? So suggested reading here is Start With Why, Simon Sinek. You could try that book if you haven't, you know, grabbed onto that one. That might be something beneficial for you. Number six, the power of strategic innovation. And, of course, we want to be constantly innovating, constantly changing, constantly making something do. Stay ahead of the road. Stay ahead of the trends. Stay on board of it. And strategic innovation for us individually is a daily habit. I'm always looking for how I can be better. How do I improve? Changes do I need to see? What do I need to acknowledge? What direction do I need to go? You know. Today we had another great aha moment. Lydia and I love to communicate. That's why it's so great to have a business partner. And it doesn't have to be somebody you hire. My goodness gracious, most people, I think there are maybe a half dozen of us in all of Manatech that have an assistant. But, you know, Lydia does a ton of work for me in many other endeavors as well. I need her to manage a lot of my personal life as well as what she's doing with Manatech, but she's been a blessing to me. But the important thing is to have somebody, have a team, build a team, have some other members on your team that you can interact with and strategize with, because we want to keep ahead of the curve. We want innovation in our business and to help people see the innovation and drive their innovation as well. Keep the strategic innovation always as a daily habit for us. Now, if we look at strategic innovation with Manatech, we can look at, that's all Sam Castor's been. That's all this company's been. When you go back to the whole concept of, you know, birthed out of prayer, and then you see this glyconutrient technology, my gosh, strategic innovation? Come on, people. Who else is grabbing onto glycobiology? Who else built a glyco product in 1996? Who else, you know, patented this process? I mean, we'll talk about having the foresight of this incredible process. You know, and then they trademarked the word real food technology. They started Manna Relief in 1999. That was the first step towards this whole process, I believe. The first step really being Sam sending these products to Romania, but then Manna Relief and now social entrepreneurship and now with Bo here, it is our identity. It is who we are. All of this has been one constant step-by-step strategic innovation in our business. You know, the Phytomatrix was strategic innovation, right? Nutriveris was strategic innovation. It was about, you know, it was very much the whole concept of what Apple Computer's done. It was called, I don't care about killing off my children. I'm still going to make the best innovative product. I'm going to make the best, highest quality product for the price. Even though it robs from each one of our patented products, it still is the best product for the price to get out there. There's some great books out there on strategic innovation, The Power of Strategic Innovation by Johnson and Douglas Bate. So you can look at that and just see what that, but it's more applied. Strategic innovation is mostly applied to, you know, a business systems type thing. So you can take a peek at it, but I have the idea in your head about constantly looking for change. How can I improve? How can I strategically make myself better? And that's what we look at. How can I help my associates and my organization strategically be better? And that means they be more efficient. How do I go and practice high leverage activity? That's why we bring in people like Tony Giri and these other guys that come in to help us strategize and help our attitudes and our directions to be more, you know, directed in a way that we're going to create the results we want. Number 7, the power of action. Well, we all know the power of action. Leaders are bold. They're men and women of action. We take action. And we take action whether we know that where it's going to go or not. I mean, I'm out there taking action every day. And that means I have fear. I don't have any fears of doing something wrong. I more or less believe that I'm going to make steps in my life that sometimes are not going to be perfect. I didn't put 12 months in to figure out how to do it. I did it after the first 3 weeks of studying it, and I stepped out. And in faith, I step out. I have a power of a conviction that drives me, and that if I stumble, that's great. It's just what is it? It's just another lesson. It's a lesson. So mistakes are lessons that we learn. So we take action. We don't worry about whether it's a mistake or not. We just get out and act. The power of taking action is crucial. And you can look at all the big guys out. Zig Ziglar once wrote, the major difference between the big shot and the little shot is the big shot is just a little shot who kept on shooting. Get it? Right. Keep active and things happen. Stop and they don't. Action, here's another quote from Brian Berggren. He says, action makes things happen. Inaction lets things happen. What does this remind you of? Remember the great book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Proactive. Be proactive. If you're not proactive, things are going to happen to you. If you're proactive, you make things happen. It's about being proactive. That's the highly successful people are proactive people. Or how about Walt Disney made the comment, the way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing, right? We love to talk things through until we talk ourselves blue in the face. That's why so many times in corporate America you get so tired of the committee meetings. You have committee meeting after committee, blah, 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 on and on and on. You know, there's so many statements out there, better to fail 3 times and then succeed than not to even try, right? You got to get out there and keep working and working at it. And why do people remain inactive? Some of you are still inactive. You're going, well, I want to see what comes out. I want to see how Bo short. Are you kidding me? Then you see people like Mary Jo and other leaders in this company that they're just all in. They're already moving 18 different directions a minute, you know, even before Bo short was even introduced to Manatech. Because why? Because it's, you know, we don't have fear of failing. Fear of failure is a big concept behind people who step back and don't take action. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you step back and don't do anything, you're going to fail anyway. The one important power of action is that it gives you a sense of being in control. So get out there and take action. And here, Napoleon Hill, what does he say? He says, don't wait. The time will never be just right. So Power of action. Get out there and act. Take action. I gave you a little success attitude website that you can go to and look at the action information there. That'll maybe help you. Leaders have the power to get others to take action as well. We need to drive. And why do we have the power to do that? Because we lead by example. If I'm not taking action, I can't have expectations of my people taking action. So I'm always in action. I'm always in motion, constant motion. Number 8, power of truth. And this just gets back to character, too, which is number 9 as well. Truth penetrates. It has power. The power of truth. What a powerful. It's just incredible. And there's a book out there called The Power of Truth. And it's about us being as honest as possible every single moment. Leaders tell everyone they interact with the truth. We always step into truth. So, and this Power of Truth book was actually first published in 1902. Can you believe that? In 1902. It's a great book, so you can go out and get that, The Power of Truth. Pay Truth Forward is another great set of CDs out there if you want to read that. It's the Pay Truth Forward was done by Gary King, and his comment is, there's no such thing as an inconsequential lie. And, you know, today in our world today, let's talk about what we live in today, because this is pretty intriguing. We're all conditioned to believe that some lies are acceptable. Did you know that? We're all conditioned as a society today. But in reality, there are costs and consequences to our lives whenever we lie, including stress, low self-esteem, even disease. Even disease, because, again, stress creates disease, right? And here's a statistic. There was a Gary King did this article in The Power of Truth. He said 78% of the 6.5 billion people on the planet today operate under the conscious level of integrity. In other words, below a level of integrity, a conscious level of integrity. That's by Gary King, and he wrote that in The Power of Truth, and it was published in Oprah Winfrey's O Magazine. He said, The Power of Truth will help you create a major shift in consciousness as you experience the true power of living and operating from complete personal honesty and integrity. Gary King went further to tell us, he says, I believe lying is a form of addiction. And some people, there was a program that was out there for a while, says, tell the average person for the next 30 days, be honest and authentic in everything you do. And that'll overwhelm you. Well, Gary King said, you know, most people can't stick to something for 30 days. So he came up with the following more doable. So if this is an issue for you, if you see it, or maybe it's not even a see it, maybe it's a consciousness that we need to all look at 24 hours. It says, take the 24-hour truth challenge. For just one day, decide that you're going to tell the truth on every single thing that you do. Don't lie to yourself. You know, that's the number one person we lie to is ourselves. That's the number one person we lie to, is ourselves. Don't lie to yourself or anyone else. He says, just taking this 24-hour truth challenge will cause a shift in your consciousness because it will now have you paying attention. So the power of truth, great, great, great. So you want to make sure that you are always honest, stay with integrity, 100% integrity, not 99%, not 96%, you know, 100%. What's wrong with the 100% integrity? It's a caliber we all should, you know, fight and drive our lives towards. Number 9, power of character, and this just takes character one more step because truth is definitely a part of, honesty is part of character. Leaders are responsible, they're consistent, they're courageous, they're loyal, they're fearless. All of these are characteristics. Any of these shake your consciousness. If you're missing these, work on them. They learn from their mistakes. They use these as lessons for progress and get results. So it's important for us to all work on our character, be the best we can be. There's a great book out there called The Power of Character, and it's a book that really kind of reviews prominent people and what they think about character. It's a book that their 40 distinguished Americans share their insights and perspectives on the meaning of character in their family, their community, their work, and their life. And you're going to have some awesome people that are sharing in that book. So if that's something that you want to work on, that's a great book for you because you're going to get a whole panoply of different insights from people who have tremendous characters. And then finally, the last one is The Power of Giving. Ultimately, no man or woman is happy unless they have found a way to contribute beyond themselves. We have a lot of people that stay self-centered. In fact, a lot of people, young people, tend to be self-centered because they're all driven to try to create. They're worried about creating their tomorrow, about, you know, building mass fortunes. I know when I grew up, it was always about everybody wanted to say how profitable we could be, how a direction we could be. I never even envisioned thinking about going into the Peace Corps or those. That was probably a lot driven by my environment, my family, my parents. They said, work hard, get a good job, go to college, don't date. You know, this is like driven. You know, we're all driven by our parental background. My parents had four children, and they drove us all. I mean, I remember in sixth grade, I came home, and I had a B on my report card. I'd never had a B before. Well, no one in my family had had a B before, so, and I was the baby of the family. I was the fourth. And my parents looked at me and said, what's the problem? All A's and one B, and they go, what's the problem? Can you imagine? But it was driven. That was that driven environment. So my parents, like, work hard, get a good education, you know, don't get married, get all that. That was that driving force. And, you know, they had three kids that got doctorate degrees, Phi Beta Kappas, all this kind of stuff. And they, you know what? They got two grandchildren. And I was the baby of the family, and guess who was the first one to get married? Me. That's pretty amazing. But we're driven by all that. But the idea of the power of giving is that's what we need to instill in people's hearts. We need to be really cognizant of understanding the power of giving, because you will not be a complete person without giving. Giving is what completes us. It's the essence of living is giving. We're here to be servants. We're here to serve others. And that's when we'll find true happiness, is through the gift of giving. So we want to be really clear on that. There's a great book, Azim Jamal, The Power of Giving. Bob Berg, The Go-Giver, that's another great book. Lydia tells me I did a book review on that on Mana Train. I think it's March of 2008, was it, Lyd? March of 2008. So go back if you want to look at Bob Berg's The Go-Giver book. That's a great book. But Azim Jamal also has a great book of The Power of Giving. It's really incredible to get out there and read books that will really give you a concept of what this is. Seth Godin, some of you guys are familiar with Seth. He's written some great books that I've read and reviewed on the call. But he said that Azim's book, he said this book could change everything for you. So great book, Power of Giving. And that's what we're about. That's who we are. That's who Manatech is today. We are givers. That is our mission. Our vision is giving. And the gift we're giving is a gift of life. It's a gift of life we can give through PhytoBlend powder to these children that are dying of malnutrition. And it's incredibly powerful for us to be in that position. So don't sit back and think, where are we today? We don't have time for inaction, people. We only have time for action. And that's what I tell people today. I look at them, I go, you know, you're monkeying around with this or that, or what are you doing? You're playing on the internet, or you're doing your things. And I'm not saying people don't need downtime. But if you're in this, if you're really in Manatech today, and you really get what we're doing, we don't have time to mess around. We have kids dying. Just the time I gave this talk, how many children died? 1 hour, it's one every 6 seconds. It's time, people, for us to move forward and really take this to the world. All right, people, great call. Anyone have any comments, feedback? Did any of these hit you? Good material? 10 fundamental powers of extraordinary leaders. And you all are extraordinary leaders. You're on your path.
Hello, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Hi. I don't have a comment on the presentation today, but I wanted to ask you, what is your best presentation? I'm putting together one, and I wanted to either use Gold Mail or pre-conference call to do that for an online presentation. What I know you put together a lot of great ones. I just wondered.
A ton.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like a webinar type thing, presentation?
Yeah, something where people can go through a slide presentation and...
Well, one of the things I'm going to suggest to you is maybe peek at, if you want to do the presentation yourself, you could send me an email and maybe I could help you out with that. But the other concept would be to tap into some of the things coming out from Manatech today, like Bo's presentation he's doing Monday night. You may just look at, doing that one, because, you know, it depends on what it the presentations are across the board. The reason why I've done hundreds of them, probably thousands by now, and have a bank of just endless presentations, is that we do presentations on everything. I do presentations on weight loss. I do presentations on grocery shopping. I do presentations on, you know, social entrepreneurship. So it depends on what is the topic you want, and then focus on what are the best materials out there for that topic that are already available through Manatech. But if you're interested in...
How would we find your presentations? I know you're redoing your Manatrain.net website.
Yeah, correct. We're redoing the whole thing. We're still working on that. That's a big project. And we're going to have on that, because we're building a how to get started as a champion.
And then put a topic in, and then it would come up?
You probably... Because my Manatrain website is dedicated to my Monday calls, that you're not going to find Mary Jo's presentations on there. You will find some training when we finally get it up and running, because we're doing a whole area of the webpage is how to become a champion, how to truly drive champions. And so we're doing a step-by-step training session, so that's going to be on there, those kind of presentations. But what you're looking for is more like a slide. You're looking for slides, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. My best bet for you is that you could contact us, but you also contact your upline. I don't know who your upline is, and find out what they've made. I've got tons of them in Index, but if I were working with you, I would say, are you in my organization or not? No. What I would tell you is I'd say, give me what kind of topic do you want? And then I would probably send out four or five that are on that topic that are recent that I've done. But there are a lot of great slides out there. Sometimes you can actually ask people if you've seen a presentation that Mary Jo did, when people see one of my webinars or something, they'll go, hey, can I get those slides? And I'll go, absolutely, and I'll send them. They're nothing that are personal to me. I mean, even if I made them or not, I want every one of you to be successful, so I'm willing to share whatever I create is everybody's.
Okay.
And Manatech feels the same way. So if there's something that you see from Manatech that you like and you'd like to get those slides, you can also contact, you know, the respective person that gave that presentation, and they'll probably make them available to you. Or contact your upline presidential. Might have a little bit more clout to get them quicker for you, but it's not that they wouldn't get them to anyone who is an associate. It's just sometimes being a presidential, you get a little faster response from because they're so inundated at Manatech. Does that help you? Okay, I guess I lost her.
Mary
Jo? Okay. Yes?
You mentioned Branson's skincare product coming out.
Yes, I did.
At Manifest, they mentioned a weight loss, like a protein shake or something. What do we
know
about?
Yeah, the protein, pea protein powder. Anyone on a call from Seattle to know what the status was there? I don't know. My suspicion is that may come out in Chicago. That's what I've kind of heard through the grapevine.
Okay.
Okay.
And one more question on Branson.
Uh-huh.
When might we have a place for it? I keep checking.
Oh, good
daily.
Grief. Don't ask those important questions. I know.
Okay.
I just went yesterday. I did a call last night with my team in Lubbock, and they said, when are we going to know where to book our hotels? Because we don't need, and on the website currently it still says the same information. Because of the overwhelming response to Branson, they're still trying to find a location. So that is still unknown. So I'm just telling you, hold on to your hat and just check back on that website from time to time. And as soon as we find out, we'll definitely make it part of the Monday call. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet.
The protein's coming out later this fall, Mary Jo.
Is it fall? Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's really delayed. Okay.
Yeah.
So they announced that in Seattle?
Yeah.
And thank you.
The other thing, Seattle was fantastic, Mary Jo.
Yes. Thank you for being on and telling us, Ken. That's wonderful. Any few moments or a little tidbits you want to share with us?
Well, it was just awesome. I think really what Greg Ross, you reported what Greg Ross said on Saturday, that he didn't see the M5M, really.
Right.
Another thing of Sam's or whatever. And, okay, it sounds good. But after he heard Bo Short, he got it.
Yeah.
Everybody in Seattle, that was the same thing. I mean, you can repeat that with the whole audience. He spoke probably six or eight different times and different things. He was also on some calls while he was there. He had new slides. He had the language. He went over it and over it and over it and over what to say and the different scenarios. It was just fantastic. Everybody loved it. So
terrific. Well, appreciate you, Ken. Thanks for that feedback on it. That's I kind of got that from the corporate guys, but I hadn't talked to anyone who actually was in attendance. We have some of our downline up there. I just hadn't had a chance to chat with them, but a lot of them. I know they got excited because they're booked to go to Branson now, and they want to be on a flight team. And I go, oh, man, these people haven't. They're rising from the dead, like Lazarus, right?
it's
quite incredible.
And Bo's going to be on the flight team teaching.
Great, that's good too.
Yeah.
Super, super,
awesome.
great. Good, Ken. Thank you for the share. You bet. How awesome is this? Yep. I tell you, it's really exciting. And like I said, my vision of where this company is going, when I say the front page of the Wall Street Journal, I mean it. I think Manitech's going to hit it huge. And it's not going to be, the publicity that caused us to fall into that trap back in in 2005, 2006, 2007, when we got the publicity about making representations about heal, cure, mitigate, and all that stuff. This is going to be a company that's acknowledged as changing the world, the way companies do business. And I think that's just so cool. I want to be on board. I got it. I've caught it. I'm on fire. And I hope all of you see it as well, because it's really invigorating. So. Okay, everybody, love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll be back on next Monday, and we just thank you for your presence and your commitment, and I just love all of you as partners in this incredible mission with us. So let's get moving. All right, everybody, thanks. Love you all.